I also welcome every one of you in the precious name of the Lord, and I indeed wish us a weekend which brings forth fruit for eternity. I wish us that we receive God's word by faith, letting the Spirit of God work in us, and that we go from here richly blessed. We welcome especially those who are maybe here in our midst for the first time. Would you please raise your hand if you are here for the first time? Or please just stand up straight away, if you don't mind. This young man here, he comes from Louisville, Kentucky, from the USA, and he's working at Voice of God. This is the headquarter in the USA within the message. God bless you in a special way in our midst. Then we have the whole family Schanz in our midst. We all know our sister Renate, the daughter of brother and sister Fleck. And on this weekend, the whole family from Flagstaff, Arizona, is here, and we welcome them in a special way, and we wish God's blessing. Then we have to give you greetings from half of the world, and in the same way, we would like to send greetings from here into all the world. We had special greetings from Cape Town, from Johannesburg, from Benin, from Nairobi. Yes, one can really say from many brethren from many countries. And I see that today that we are really internationally represented here from Finland. And then one can go straight to the east and to the south, from the north, from the Czech Republic, from Poland, from Slovakia, from Austria, from Italy, from Switzerland, from France, and from Belgium and the Netherlands, from everywhere, we may be gathered here in the precious and holy name of our Lord. Should a country or nationality not have been mentioned, just feel also at home. I think we have 12 languages into which simultaneously translations are being done, so that what is being said here, that it can be duplicated and in all these various languages, that it can be listened to and also be watched. We are greeting also our friends in South America, in Chile, in Peru, everywhere where people are gathered to hear the true and precious word, the everlasting word of God. In the last song of the choir, we have heard, they come from the east and west. And there is a very marvelous verse in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 29. I repeat for the interpreters, especially Luke 13, verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. The thought which came to me is the following one. Before we can sit down there in glory with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all the elected ones of God from the Old and New Testament, before we can sit down and have the supper together with our Lord, we must already come together here as the spiritual seed of Abraham, which believes the promises of God and which also personally experiences it. We of course have reached a time in which many things are going on, and our brother Michael Paschke had it on his heart to put an advert here in the local newspaper that on every Sunday, on Sunday mornings, on every first weekend of every month, special meetings take place here. Three lions are sticking out here. I'm reading. Do the signs of the time point to a turning point in history? And the second line says, what happens with Israel? The third one is the return of the Lord at hand. One can actually summarize these three lines, these three headlines here. One can summarize it. One can really summarize it and say it all in one single subject, namely the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in our time. Bible prophecy is indeed being fulfilled so tremendously that we just cannot bypass it. Before I go a little bit into the past, let me read you briefly some passages here and point you to some things which make history. We all experienced the 1st of May, the uniting of Europe, 25 nations, 455 millions under one roof. And then came the 8th of May, the 8th of May with the big convention in the hall in Stuttgart. I'm reading from the news of the Lutheran Church, 175 Lutheran, Catholic, Anglican, Orthodox, and other denominations from 22 countries were gathered on the Europe Day on the 8th of May in Stuttgart. Big headline: Catholics, CVJM, Pentecostals, and whatever goes with it. And we found out why the 8th of May was chosen. The 8th of May went into history for us in a special way, who we are having a German or Austrian passport. On the 8th of May, 1945, was the end of the Third Reich. Capitulation was signed. The end of the Third Reich was here. Why was it here? So that Bible prophecy finds fulfillment, and that the Fourth World Empire could come up. And it has come up, as we can say today. So that really, Bible prophecy from Daniel 2, from Daniel 7, and from Revelation finds fulfillment. Then we have here the extracts straight from the Vatican. EU bishops are inviting to look at the European unification from a Christian point of view. And then, of course, come the very important remarks which are pointed out here. Then again, a second document, Thursday, 24th of June, command of the Pope. All who are baptized are called to present to the world Christ, just as John the Baptist did it. Yes. I'm just reading the headlines here. One more document from the 24th of June of this year. And there, indeed, the Pope was reading Revelation 15 before 8,000 people, where it's written that the overcomers at the Sea of Glass are singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Very strange. Such a vocabulary one would not have heard 10 or 20, not to mention 50 years ago. And then it says here, as a description, or to underline it, after they won the victory over the beast. Yes. And as already said, everywhere they are speaking a Christian language. Next headline, Pope urges Europe to recognize the historic role of Christianity. And it continues here. I'm just reading one more of this Vatican extracts. And here it is written, the Ecumenical Council consists now of a fellowship of 342 churches. I'm reading this with a purpose, namely, with the purpose to say here at this place that the Word of God was so much twisted, so interpreted, that was so much misunderstood and really twisted in all directions under heaven. If there would be only four, then it would be nice. But all these 342 churches and denominations have given to the Bible their own interpretation. Everyone understands the Word of God differently. And I say this for a reason. to say how important it is that we receive the Word of God not with our mind, but that we get it revealed by the Spirit. The Word of God, of course, came forth from the Spirit of God, and it can really only be understood by the Spirit of God. I just picked out three examples from this 342 churches or denominations. One of them does not celebrate the Lord's Supper at all. They even reject it, because in Matthew 26 it's written, I will henceforth not drink from this fruit of the vine. There they make a full stop, instead of reading on, until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. The second refers to 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul says, I was not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Conclusion, baptism is not necessary, because Paul said, I was not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The third ones, mainly a group in Africa, they baptize three times, namely, with the face forward, because it is written, he bowed his head. At the crucifixion, our Lord cried out, it is finished. And then he bowed his head. And from this they conclude that one shall be baptized with the face forward. What has the death of our Lord on the cross to do with baptism? But I just mentioned these three examples to show us that we really are only dealing with misunderstandings in Christianity. And therefore, the remark is appropriate that it really must be revealed to us by God Himself. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. And as I said many times, if one would close down all the preacher seminars, all the places where theologians are being taught, if they would be closed, then no damage would have been caused to the kingdom of God. Just the opposite. One perhaps would have given less opportunity to those who have taken away the key and who themselves do not enter into the kingdom of God and are hindering others to enter. For the last one, also here in the Idea Spectrum, a magazine, on page number 16, do we need a more woman-friendly Bible? Now, they are no more satisfied, as also in previous times, they were not satisfied. The women said, but true, do not perform very well in the Bible. That's at least our impression. But believe me, in the Word of God, it's only written what God wanted to have. And it was necessary. It was really necessary. It, of course, doesn't make sense that one rebels against God and His Word. But is it not written like this, that the man of sin would exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped? And when we must say with a wistful heart, Whatever is not in agreement with God and His Word cannot stand in the presence of God. Therefore, the true proclamation of the Word. God cannot agree with 342 different denominations. Let me say it in a different way. From all those 342 Christian denominations, God calls those out who agree with Him, who place themselves onto His side. God cannot go into so many directions, but all these people from all these directions, they can, by God's grace, walk on this way of truth, following our Lord. When we then read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that Timothy should be diligent to rightly divide the word of truth, then we know that it was said by a man of God, as we heard in the word of introduction, who had a divine calling, a divine sending, who had a responsibility before God toward mankind, and especially toward the church, to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was asking his co-worker that they truly divide the word of truth just as he got it revealed from God. He could say very clearly in Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11 and 12, I received the gospel not of man, neither did I learn it in a school, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, back to the origin, back to the beginning, because God wanted it this way, that before the return of Jesus Christ our Lord, that the everlasting gospel is being preached in its original form. And this to all peoples, tongues, and nations. We cannot change it into something else what it is, but God is able to give a change, but only in those who do respect His word. Just now, we had a child dedication, and we all know a whole church refers to this word, let the little children come to me and suffer them not. And then comes the passage with the baptism in connection with the little children who should come to the Lord. But of a baptism, nothing is written there. And then one reads, let the children come to me and suffer them not. And then, in the name of the Father, the Son, a little bit of water here. This doesn't count before God. This must be said very clearly to mankind. Before God counts only that what is written in His Word. And as it was handled in the beginning. I know it hurts. It hurts a Muslim if one tells him, listen, Muhammad, who was born in 575 and who died in 632, who could not read or write, and he said all kinds of things, thinking to have it received by revelation from God. But nothing of all these 114 surahs or chapters is in agreement with the Old and New Testament. This makes people to be upset because they believe that what they were taught, and they are born into it. Just take all the other religions, all are born into these religions, also in Protestantism, into Catholicism. All of us, we were born into some kind of religion. And then comes the divine call. Then comes the Lord and says, listen, you dear people, not like this. This is not right. And then he says, all religions are man-made. And then he says, I cannot be found in any religion. And then he says, not who has the church as mother, has God as father, but he who has the Son of God, he has also the Father. One just has to say this so that the people know that they were being misled. I was also hurt, and everyone is hurt of us when one hears that the thing which one believes, that it is not biblical or that it cannot stand before God. But this is just the first moment. The second moment is that one that God gives us the grace, that the Spirit of God comes upon us, and that we are convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That we just realize that we were all born in sin, separated from God, coming into this world, and that we are indeed spiritually dead in sin and trespasses, and that by the preaching of the word, that the Spirit of God can work in those, firstly to wake them up, and then to lead them to repentance, and to give conversion and repentance. And let me say here, there's really no single religious act which God wants. God acts himself as true as God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And only there's only one way from God to us, and only one way from us to God. For this, God will not apologize. And as I said many times, many ways, and this is obvious, many ways lead to Rome. But only one single way leads out of it. And the message is indeed in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, ye my people, come out. One question. What would be on earth today if there would not have been a Jan Hus who was burned at the stake in Constantia under the laughter of the council fathers? What did Martin Luther say? They have killed a goose. A swan will come, whose voice you will not be able to still. We think on worms. We, of course, think on all the happenings. The gospel, to bring the gospel into the houses, it had a price. People had to give their lives at the stake so that the word comes into the houses, into the families, among the people. Now the question, could there have been all the other revivals without the Reformation? No. God made a beginning. He had a Luther, a Schwenkfeld. He had a Calvin. He had a Zwingli. He had his men at that time and afterward. But now we have indeed reached the end of the end time. We cannot go more into details here. Perhaps tomorrow, perhaps another time. But it must be said very clearly to the people that in the year 33, when the Third Reich, so to say, came to power, The angel of the Lord spoke to Brother Branham in June 1933, and he told him, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. So on both sides, history was made. On one hand, natural history, and secondly, within the natural history, the divine history of the plan of salvation. And then, let us make a jump straight from 1933 to 1945. And then, just 1 year later, the angel of the Lord appears on the 7th of May 1946 in the evening and speaks with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham sees seven visions concerning the end time of all what would happen before the return of Jesus Christ. We are mainly interested in the core. We are not so much interested that Brother Branham saw as the last America destroyed, that only smoke ascended, and as far as he could see, everything was destroyed. This was the last vision. We do not rejoice about any calamity or judgment, but we are here to give the warning before. And the whole world is now protesting and rebelling. And we will see how everything will go on. It is still written in Revelation 9 that the four judgment angels are bound at the river Euphrates in the country of the Saddam Hussein. One can take politicians off the scene. This one can do. But Bible prophecy, nobody will annul or stop. When the moment comes, then they will be loosened. And already in the first pull, the third part of the earth will be no more. Brothers and sisters, all these things are shaping up, are shaping up. And he who last Sunday was reading the newspaper Welt am Sonntag, he found out how the UNO, also Kofi Annan, is always aiming at Israel. All the others go out free, or almost free. But Israel is always judged and is always condemned. Brothers and sisters, this must be so. It's again Bible prophecy, because Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone to all nations, and all nations will gather against Jerusalem. Now, just quickly, coming to the word. To me, a word or a verse really touched my heart from Hebrews. Since a couple of days, I would like to write a new brochure with the title Too Late. Too Late. Something just pushes me to show mankind that there will be a too late, and that we should not let something pass by us what God appointed for us, what He promised to us. Because then is fulfilled what is written in Hebrews chapter 4, in the second part of verse 1, as a warning, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. When we read in Matthew 25, there it says in verse 10, those who were ready went in, and the door was shut. Yes, there was a too late. The door was shut. Before, we have Matthew 24, where the food was given out, where people had the opportunity to hear the word of God, as announced in the prophet of the Old Testament, that God would send a famine to hear his words as they came forth from the mouth of God in its original form. And to this, God really entrusted us the message. And when I say here, at this place, and to the whole world, that all people are in their programs, but that the Church of Jesus Christ must be found and is found in God's plan of salvation, right up to its consummation. This sentence was quite long, I repeat, to make it short. The Church of the Living God is in the will of God, according to the promises of God. And we could make all efforts, and we could try hard to find a common ground with all these 342. But it's impossible. The plan of salvation of our God is not defined by decision in some kind of councils, but it was already decided, and therefore all, and God will not make any excuse, all must now believe as the Scripture says. And in that moment where we believe as the Scripture says, we do not find anymore any place in any denomination. This I'm not just saying because I feel like saying it, but I say this out of experience of my 42 years in the ministry. The word of the Lord, they don't want to hear anymore. All are having their creed. And I think here, especially on Manila, straight at the entrance of the building, the creed is handed out, and I'm reading, I think it was point 9, and we believe in the communion of saints, a church of the full gospel. And listen very closely, when the Holy Scripture speaks of the communion of saints, then only of living saints who are consecrated in the word of truth. If one would ask the Roman Church, then saints are saints only when they died, and one turns to them and calls upon them. And then we see again a misunderstanding was leading to that things were brought into existence which cannot stand before God at all. The blessed and holy was only addressed to the living, starting from the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew 5, up to the last book, the Revelation, chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Blessedness does not start after death, but now, here and today. When people are comforted for the other side, there is a curse on that thing. This is not permitted. One may not let the people go deceived into eternity. This is not permitted. And therefore, the true proclamation of the true word, coming back to that what we were reading in Hebrews, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. Just imagine what happens to those who are left behind. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People will cry to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne. Let me read you the word from Luke 13 to make it complete, a few verses before verse 29, namely from verse 25. Luke 13 from verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not where you are from. Yes, a very serious word. So it doesn't help at all to anyone just to read, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham. What is written in John 3? Except one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Leave alone to be in the kingdom of God, sitting at the table of the Lord in the kingdom of God. First, we must sit here at the table of the Lord, and he prepares us a table in the presence of our enemies. And we have indeed made the word of God, thanks be to God, we made it as our food. I'm reading on in Luke 13, and then it says in verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Then comes verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. We are not here to make people afraid, but we are here to say uprightly and honestly, straight is the gate and narrow the way which leads to life, and only a few who find it. Broad is the way and gate which lead to destruction, and many are walking on it. For us, who we are taking the word of God seriously, we believe in the reconciliation of God with mankind. We believe that God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. We believe that all our sin and guilt was put onto the Lamb of God, so that we might have peace with God, and by his stripes we were healed. The same way we believe what is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And then it says, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name, who are not born by the will of a man, but who are born of God. How often shall we say it here at this place? For every harvest, for every birth, there is a need of a seed. In the whole living creation, there is a need of a seed before a birth can be. There is a need of a unification, because we all know the germ of life is in the seed. The same in the spiritual. The word is the seed, and the divine germ of life is in the seed, which is the word of God. How often shall we say it? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I'm reading now to you the adoption of sons, which we all received by grace. Firstly, from Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews, chapter 7. Here we read verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. You see, keep in mind, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Listen closely, that we might receive the adoption of sons. First, the Son is adopted or appointed, and then all sons and daughters of God are adopted in the Son as sons and daughters, and can cry out, Abba, Father, can indeed pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Here we have read it, born of a woman. Why does it say woman here? Because in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, it's written that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. And what are we doing with the next problem now? When one believes that Mary remained forever a virgin, and the Holy Scripture says, mentions the four sons of her by name, and says that also daughters were there. I'm asking, whom shall we believe? Our decision is once and for all firm, not to believe any man, but only to believe God and his word, and to respect it. Then one could take another place, John 3, verse 13. No one ascended up to heaven, but only the Son of Man who came down from heaven. What are we doing then with Mary's ascension? Yes, we can forget it. It's simple as that. One needs to tell it to the people that through dogmas and creeds all were misled. They are taken out of the Holy Scripture, and the people are told to believe these dogmas and creeds. And now you notice already where God puts the weight on to lead His church out from all prisons, out from all bondage, to lead them out. And I'm reading you for this. I'm reading you the word from the prophet Isaiah, because there we have already the announcement of that, what happens in the course of the New Testament. Firstly, Isaiah 42, here it's written of our Lord, in verse 1, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice," or judgment, "to the Gentiles." To make it short, we read also verse 7 to 9. To open the blind eyes. So, with this, it starts with this. Naturally, we are all spiritually blind. And as already said, we are separated from God. Born in sin, kept in unbelief. So, to open the blind eyes, also today here, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God describes it here very clearly. Very understandable that a prison does not only have to be here in our city, where then people are being brought, but the people who are kept in darkness, they are imprisoned. They cannot come out unless God gives grace to it. Them that sit in darkness, and then comes, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." In connection with this, it's written in verse 9, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." But this is not all. Straight in verse 22, in Isaiah 42, we are told, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil, and none saith, restore." How thankful we can be that God was merciful to us and that He received us. How thankful we can be that He fulfilled His word, His main promise for our time. "Behold, I send unto you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." Very clearly, at the end of the day of salvation, there had to be a prophetic ministry in this prophetic age to give the calling out from all this utter confusion. And this required that the man, as John the Baptist, does not minister somewhere in Jerusalem, in the temple, according to the old traditions, but John the Baptist went into the wilderness of Judea, straight to the river Jordan, to baptize those who believe and receive his testimony and who accept it
Glauben taufen zu können. Genauso war es.
The same it was with Brother Branham. Just think of it. A very young man, 21 years old, ordained as a Baptist preacher in the greatest Baptist denomination, and there are 111 of them in the USA, but just ordained as a preacher. And what happened? The man makes his first evangelization, 1933, and more than 300 received the Lord, repented, were ready to be baptized. And I'm asking you today, did he want that the heaven comes down, that the supernatural light comes down? Did John pray for it, that after the baptism of our Lord in the River Jordan, that there the heavens opened? He looked up, and the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost came down, and the voice sounded, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not a prophet determines what God does. God determines what a prophet does. And then he gives his blessing to it. That's how it was with Brother Branham. A young man, just ordained as a preacher, thinking to know at that time what this church believes and teaches. And behold, when he was about to baptize the 17th person and was praying, "O God, as I baptize with water, may you baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And behold, heaven opened, the supernatural light came down, visible for more than 4,000 people. And if I, Brother Frank, in April 66, would not have met personally between 10 and 12 persons who witnessed this event personally in June 33 and have seen it with their own eyes, then I would probably not speak here with such a certainty. But what we are saying and testifying of is true. As with John, and as there at the baptism, not at the healing miracle, not sometime, but at the obedience to the faith. Faith, why did our Lord say, "It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness"? Who are we then to say, as men, who we found grace before God, that we then would say, baptism is not necessary? When the Son of God, our all example, said, "It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness." Coming back to the tremendous experience. Heaven is opening. The supernatural light, like in a pillar, is forming up, becoming like a star, and remains just a few meters above Brother Branham. And out of this light, the mighty voice, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. Or so the message which you carry will forerun the second coming of Christ. And now comes the point. And please, don't be angry with anyone. But everything repeats. The angel of the Lord said to Brother Branham, as to Moses were given two signs, so to you, you are given two signs. Let us not go here into details. What happened with Moses? Moses had a rod. He cast it to the ground, and the rod became a serpent. Because the serpent in the Garden of Eden caused the beguiling and the deception. Therefore, the serpent had to come back into the hand of Moses, so that he holds the matter in his hand. But this was not all. The Egyptian sorcerers came and cast their rods to the ground. And also they became serpents. And now, all the people watched it. There the man, and here, all the others. Also, casting their rod, became all the serpents. Here's the mystery. At the end, the serpent of Moses ate up all the other serpents, becoming strong and fat. And Moses took it at its tail and had a rod in his hand. For the unbeliever, this is a fable. For us, a divine fact. To indicate that as Moses later on in the wilderness lifted up the serpent so that all know he did it in the Garden of Eden. He did it. So Christ, as the Son of God, was lifted up on the cross because he bruised the head of the serpent. But now comes a totally different point. As all the others who did not have a divine commission were then also doing their signs and wonders, so we indeed have the warning in the prophet of the Old Testament, and especially in Matthew 24, Mark 13, then Luke 21, where we are told about the end time. And also this, I'm not saying to do something to people, but it was not about signs and wonders at all. The signs and wonders should only draw the attention to the message which would follow. Moses had a message. The leading out had to take place. That's what it was all about. Because God gave the promise to Abraham in chapter 15, in verse 13. After 400 years, I will deliver thy descendants out from bondage. And now we're coming back to 1946. In the first years, 46, 47, 48, everything was still more or less all right. But already the first people were coming up who turned their attention to miracles. And I'm asking you today to look into all the charismatic movement. There, it is not about the proclamation of the full gospel. It is not about that to the people repentance is being preached. It is not about that people get baptized or that they are being taught biblically. No, just demonstration of power so that all have the impression that God is in the thing. God is only in the thing when the thing is in line with God and His Word. If it is not in agreement, then God is not in it. Coming back to Moses, and then in comparison to our beloved brother Branham. Moses was a man called by God. A man to whom the Lord spoke face to face. A man who had a divine sending connected with the promise and with that, what should take place at that time. The sorcerers had no commission, no calling, no sending. Let us go to 1946. Brother Branham was sent by God. And the signs and wonders which God did should draw the attention of the people to the message so that the leading out, the teaching, that all could take place and must take place before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because when the Lord returns, then he will have a church without spot and without wrinkle, consecrated to him, sanctified, following the Lord in his footsteps, in obedience to his word. One question. Of course, I have met all these great evangelists already in the early 50s. Everywhere, the Lord is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But not one of all these great evangelists preached and practiced Acts 2 from verse 38, as Brother Branham was preaching it and practicing it, just as Peter and Paul at the beginning. It was just about to give the impression that God is here in this thing. I repeat, God is only in the thing when the matter, when the thing is of God. And in God it is only if it is in the Word. And therefore, we must say it once again. Not only signs and miracles. We are thankful to God that He confirms His Word. Brother Rus can testify of it. He was healed of cancer and all kinds of things. Many could give a testimony here of that, what God did. I saw it with my own eyes, what God is able to do. But I say once again, with all those who are only after signs and wonders and who are leading people around the plan of salvation of our God and who cannot say, as Paul said in Acts 20, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of our God. Who just pick out one place of the gospel and then presenting their program, enthusing the people for their program. And then it happens, what always happened. The own kingdom is built within the kingdom of God. And this is not permitted. We must be in the kingdom of God to have part in that what God is presently doing. And this we have only when we believe what God promised. And if you receive and accept it, to have then part in it. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, we read from verse 16. 2 Peter, chapter 1, it is the well-known place of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here it says, it's written in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter could say in verse 18, and this voice which sounded from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. So, there were always witnesses when God did something. And maybe to emphasize this in this connection, the supernatural happens always when God is doing something on earth. Then the heaven comes down and the supernatural cannot be explained. Also, God cannot be explained, not in His nature and not in His manifestations. He is above all what we can grasp with our minds. He is from eternity to eternity. But this one true God, of course, revealed Himself to His own, especially to the prophets. They knew him personally. They heard his voice. And the same it was in the New Testament. When our Lord was born, the angels were there. All of Bethlehem by night was illuminated. The angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." And when the star was above Jerusalem, and when the wise men came there, they were asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" They didn't know it. And the star moved on and remained exactly there where the child was born. Exactly there. Brothers and sisters, God leads us always straight to the point where it happens and where it happened. Never here or there, always there where it happens. And what happened? The confirmation was, as written in Micah chapter 5, "He shall be born in Bethlehem." It was Bethlehem. The star went there. The same it was time and again that the supernatural happened during the time when our Lord walked this earth. The supernatural happened at his crucifixion. An earthquake took place. The graves were opened. Many of the saints rose, as written in Matthew 27, from verse 51. And behold, very early in the morning, Mary and Martha and whoever it was, they came to the tomb, and the angel or the angels, according to Matthew, there are two angels, they asked, "Whom are you looking for? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And we see time and again the supernatural happened up to the book of Revelation, chapter the first and the last chapter, where the angel came to John on the Isle of Patmos to show him the things which would take place. God sends his angels because they are ministering spirits sent out to minister for them who shall inherit salvation. The others, they shake their heads and they say, they think, "Oh my goodness, even an angel came to him." They are shaking their heads. The true believers who are of God, they know, one moment, here is the hand of God. Here God acts. Here the Almighty One reveals himself according to his word. We must be very, very careful. Just remember Genesis chapter 18. The Lord and two angels are coming to Abraham. And the two angels go on to Sodom. The Lord remains with Abraham. Over and over again, the supernatural happened on earth when God did something. Go to Exodus 3. The Lord God himself appeared to Moses in the shape of an angel in the burning bush. So, always when God does something, the supernatural happens on earth. If Brother Branham, like all the other evangelists, could not have spoken of a heavenly calling, if he could not have mentioned the day, the month, the hour, where and when it happened, if he could not have described the angel from head to toe, what would then have been? Then he would have walked after his own discretion, just like all the others also. But thanks be to God, because we have now reached such a crucial phase in the plan of salvation of our God. Therefore, God had to and did work in a supernatural way. And I say it once again, it was not only about the two special gifts when Brother Branham took his left hand and the right hand of the patient, and when then on his backside the cancer appeared, and when the tumor appeared and all the diseases, and when the patient could see it himself, it was a nice thing. But this was only to strengthen the faith, because the angel said, if you pray and the cancer or sickness disappears on your hand, then the patient is healed. People were crying out and shouting because they were healed in 1 second, not in 1 minute. They were healed in 1 second. Doesn't matter what it was, because God wanted it that way. God didn't want to glorify a man. God glorified himself by doing something supernatural. When we read Acts 19, there they took aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul, who was preaching. And behold, they were brought to the sick ones. The possessed ones were delivered. The sick ones were healed. Because the people believed that this man has a divine commission and that God is with him and that the power of God is manifest. Doesn't matter where and when, where we are. And by faith, they did it. Of course, not after the death of Paul, but while the sweat was still running down on him, and the handkerchiefs were there. And especially the second gift, which Brother Branham had, which I think to be much more important, but God knows always what he's doing, to provoke the faith. It was really the gift to see visions, to get revelations, and to see the people like in an X-ray, the names, the cities where the people were coming from, all the details. Brothers and sisters, this I didn't see only once. I experienced it 7 days, and again 7 days, and over again. I witnessed it, how God revealed to his servant the things of those people who were standing in front of him. If I would not have experienced it personally, be it in Karlsruhe or be it in Louisville, Kentucky, or in Dallas, if I would not have experienced it personally, then I could not say it with this final certainty. But as Peter could write here, we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have heard. The voice sounded. We have heard it. We have seen it. We were there. In the same way, I can say it by his grace. I was there when God revealed himself in a supernatural way. I was allowed to be there when things happened. I've said it here before, especially with the extraordinary healings, like creation miracles. I really have read it in the Herald of Faith, published by Madsen Bose in Chicago, a man from Sweden who had a church in Chicago. There was written, there the cancer has eaten away the nose of a woman. Just the little white bones one could see. And she indeed covered her face like this. And Brother Branham said, sister, don't weep. All things are possible to him who believes. I don't know what we would have done. But after the second time, the woman took away her handkerchief, and behold, no nose was there. And God, in exactly 3 weeks, he created a complete new nose. The photo is still before my eyes. Brothers and sisters, it is not only written, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. And let us be honest, we are expecting in the last round that greater things take place, even greater things, that the power of God, the healing power, the creation power, that God's power is fully manifested in soul, spirit, and body. And this in the church, which believes now, as the scripture says, and which has part in all what belongs to the restoration, all what was lost, that is being brought back now and placed into its original condition. Don't you worry. We can expect great things with the supernatural working of our God. Let us summarize. All churches and denominations can have their programs. They don't ask anyone. They have their programs. They are all uniting in the World Council of Churches. A very large number, 342, it's quite something. And then we must say, there's only one Bible, one God, one salvation, only one eternal life. There's only one place in the Holy Scripture where the Lord says, I will build my church. Matthew 16, 16 to 18. Brothers and sisters, and then we are shown how the Lord builds His church, and that He placed into His church the ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, up to the declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. The church is made up of many members and makes up the body of the Lord. Christ is the head of the church. I don't want to appoint leaders or pinnacles, but a head of heads only the church knows. The church of Jesus Christ knows only one head, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Be warned, all ye ends of the earth. Don't take this thing lightly. There is a too late. And as we read it from Hebrews, lest in any of you it turns out that you missed it, that you didn't reach the goal, that you stand before a closed door knocking. Today He is knocking. Today we may open. He who opens now, to him He will open then. He who does not open now, to him He will then not open. He is knocking, and He says, he who hears my voice and opens the door, to him I will come in to sup with him. We don't think to be better than others. We just thank God with all our hearts that while so many voices, so many religious voices are among the people in all the world, that we indeed found grace before God and are hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, receiving His word and believing it and letting ourselves be brought in agreement with His word and at the same time with His will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God be done in all of our lives, so that we at the end of our race of faith are indeed reaching the goal, beholding the Lord, sitting down together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the great supper. as the overcomers and victors who did not love their lives, but who loved the Lord, who redeemed us and pardoned us. The Almighty God, give us the grace. And I'm ending with Hebrews chapter 1. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to those who inherit salvation. As long as the church is on earth, God works in a supernatural way. And in that moment, we recognize that not only a man came on the scene, but a man sent by God with the message of God to the people of God. And this original message we are passing on and are carrying it into all the world. To the Lord our God be all the praise and honor and glory now and forever. Amen. We stand up for prayer and we sing as so often, just as I am. We remain in silent prayer. We bow our heads. Let me ask whether God's word perhaps has spoken to some. Maybe some have heard the call of the Lord, hearing his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Precious friends, you're not coming to a church. He is no membership. He are only members on the body of Jesus Christ. No rules and regulations. Just the Word of God as the lamp under our feet and a light on our way. Friends, accept this invitation. Don't belong to those who then will say, have we not? Didn't you teach us on the streets? Have we not heard all this? It is not enough. We must believe. And following the Lord in obedience to his word. As we are having our heads bowed, let me ask, who has the courage to raise the hand? Please don't look around. He who wants to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. Quite a large number of hands. God bless you. We have the promise, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, believe. Believe God. Believe what he promised. Believe what he already did and what he will still do up to the completion. Just receive and accept what the Lord has prepared for us by grace. Let us sing once again, just as I am.
singen noch. Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn.
Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn. Das teure Gotteslamm, das mir geliebt und für mich da am Kreuze stand.
Und noch einmal.
Das teure Gotteslamm, das mich geliebt und für mich stand am Kreuze stand.
Und er spricht im Johannes.
Our Lord says in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, when I will be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all of God's children unto me. And in the next verse it says, this he said to signify what death he would die. He hang on the cross, he hang between heaven and earth. Only afterward he was exalted above all the heavens, sitting down as the victor of Calvary, as the victor over death and hell and Satan, sitting down in glory at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, the first lifting up in shame and dishonor, when he carried all our sin and guilt, spit at, beaten, and stricken. He died on the cross. He cried out, "It is finished." And he said it, of course, in Matthew 26, verse 27 and 28, that he would shed his blood for many for the remission of sins. He did it. We are preaching the remission of sins by the blood of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary. It happened. There we have been reconciled with God. There the blood of the new covenant was shed for the church of the new covenant. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him, because there is no other name given among men by whom we can be saved except the name of Jesus. In him alone is the salvation of God. Receive it. Accept it. In him alone is eternal life. In him alone we have the certainty that when our race is finished, that we will come from believing unto seeing. Please don't be angry. Be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Come out of all what binds you, what holds you, whatever it might be, so that it might be fulfilled, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We have been led to the liberty of the children of God in the Lord. Blessed be our Redeemer. We pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank thee that we are still living in the time of grace, in the days that we have reached, the days of the Bible, where you are fulfilling promises and where you are working in a supernatural way. Dear Lord, we cannot tell you what you should do, but please come down come into our midst. Speak to each one. Convict. Be merciful. O God, be merciful and reveal thyself to each one of us. Give forgiveness, deliverance, grace, and salvation. May this day bring forth fruit for eternity. May revelation come by grace. Take away the veil from our eyes and from our hearts and reveal thyself. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank thee. Bless in all the world, in all tongues, in all peoples, all over the earth. Bless your church in east and west, in south and north, so that all from east and west and south and north can come sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the supper of our God. Precious Lord, have your own way with all of us. May thy word accomplish also today for what you have sent it for. Today the scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for it. Thank you that we can be eyewitnesses and ear witnesses of that what you have done. Precious Lord, bless us and be with us. We receive it and accept it by faith, that all who have heard your word, that they now believe and that they now receive salvation, redemption, grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be thou, O Lord, from eternity to eternity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.